This is Voices of Our World, and I'm your host, Eleanor Ostrinsky, sitting in for Eileen Bott. Next, we'll continue our discussion with Mitchell Capitan and Larry King, two Navajo Indians who have been fighting against the reinstatement of uranium mining in their New Mexican communities. New Mexico is not just the land of the sun, gorgeous desert, with dry rivers that suddenly flood and disappear. It is the land of the nuclear industry. Los Alamos, the birthplace of the nuclear bomb, radioactive white sands where nothing grows, Sandia Labs, the mecca of nuclear physicists who flock to develop nuclear technology and weaponry, and Kirtland Air Force Base, where decommissioned nuclear weapons were dismantled and airplanes are always at the ready. New Mexico is home to sun-seeking retirees from Wall Street and the Texas oil industry. It's also home to many Native American tribes living in extraordinary poverty. Let's continue our discussion with Mitchell Capitan and Larry King as they describe their community's struggle against uranium mining in order to preserve life and clean drinking water.
When the uranium is in its raw form, it's called yellowcake. So when it's separated from the dirt, you end up with the tailings, which is the extra dirt. So the water that they use to separate this uranium, it's pumped to a dam. They call it the tailings dam. It holds millions of gallons at that time, and it smells. They release a certain amount down the wash, which goes into the Rio Perco. And there were several Navajo families that live along the Rio Perco. They were using that water to water their livestock, their sheep, cows, horses. Back in July of 1979, at the Millings plant, the tailings broke and it sent more than 94 million gallons of water, toxic slurry, down the dry wash, all the way through Gallup, down southwest into the Arizona town of Holbrook, Winslow, and from there it probably reached the Little Colorado River. I have a neighbor that lives about a mile south of where I live. She said that her sister, when the dam broke, sending millions of gallons of toxic soup, very high in radiation, or I don't know what they have in that, but her sister walked through that. She said it burned her legs, and eventually she died from cancer.
Larry was talking about the spill. Later studies showed that livestock that grazed in the Church Rock area and drank the water from the streams contaminated of mine water had high levels of radioactive substance. So they found the meat, there's some in the muscles and the organs, they found some radioactive substance in them. So, you know, with the past legacy of the mining company just ignoring a lot of safety issues, to this day, some of our people are still suffering from that.
So all of this has been happening on Navajo land, and obviously people need jobs, and there's a great demand for energy in the United States. Oil is one thing, and nuclear power is another. How do the Navajos feel about this resurgence of or urgency to start uranium mining again?
With the younger people, if uranium is mentioned, I think usually money will be the first thing to be thought of. In our community, Crown Point and the surrounding area, our annual income is around about $6,000 per year on a family. You know, that's very low. So people want jobs, and with companies coming in, it won't be hard for them to hire people. You could make $15,000 a year. I mean, that's not much nowadays, but, you know, with a family of only making $6,000 a year, well, really, you know, would benefit from that. So I've seen that in the past where we had a uranium boom. People made money. People live happily. Not ever after. A lot of the money turned into alcoholism. You know, people died from a lot of abuse. So uranium will affect in a lot of different ways, especially people that have lands, you know, that will receive royalties. they will sign off their land no matter what the consequences. They'll say, I'll get rich. I'll make the money from this uranium. They will forget their neighbors. They will forget the other people. And to this day, I have not met a Navajo who has become financially successful mining uranium. And with the exception of the paving of a few roads, I have yet to see a lasting benefit to the Navajo communities where mining took place. Over 1,100 mines were abandoned, and many to this day has not been reclaimed yet. You know, we had the super funds from the government that was allocated, but some of these mines are still open, and some of this are still contaminating our people. I seen a family that benefit from the mining. I know they had trucks, livestock, they had barns, and all of a sudden the mining went away. To this day, they have nothing. I seen one person hitchhike down the road, one of the person that benefit from the mining. You know, I used to see him driving a big truck and all that, but today, nothing. So it will benefit for them a short time, but not for a long-lasting time.
It's interesting that you're talking about the short-term financial gain for particular people. When I think about the Navajos and actually the Native Americans in general, and correct me if I'm wrong, I always think of the community deciding based on seven generations.
I brought this up the first time when we heard about the new proposed uranium mining in Crown Point. Are we only thinking about 5 years with wealth and jobs? Why are we not thinking beyond that 10, 20, 50 years for our younger generation? Once they completely dug up all the ore, they're gone. And we're going to be there still because that's our homeland. We will be left with what has happened.
Tell me about this ISL mining. How does it work?
I mean, with what I've seen as a lab technician for Mobil Oil Corporation back in 1979 to 1985, we had four production wells and about 16 injection wells. So they pumped the chemical into the ore body, pumped out the uranium. And things were done nicely. You know, for 10 months, we pump out uranium. For the next 6 years, we couldn't clean up the water. It kind of sparked me. Is this what we're going to do again? With a fraction of a size that we did, you know, uranium mining with Mobil, and the magnitude of what they're planning, there is going to be a lot of water going to be used. There's 15,000 people that use our community water. There's going to be a fight for water. If the mining company wants the water, they would ask us for some water. But our people want some water, you know. It's just going to be a battle for water right in that area. And we don't have any water. You know, we live in a desert area. We have a small amount of rain every year. For the past 5 years, we have a drought season. And this is still being planned. You know, we held back the company and the United States government Nuclear Regulatory Commission for 10 years. And I don't know how many years we can hold them back.
How much pressure is your tribe and the land under currently?
HRI, Hydro Resource Incorporated, has filed a license application to mine. Nuclear Regulatory Commission is the one that will approve the license. And they're saying, okay, it's okay to mine. You're all right, you got all your papers, and this won't hurt anybody. But grassroots people from our community said, no, this can't be done. You guys can't use our water. You can't use our land, you know, that we seen this before. But the NRC is not listening to us. They said, no, you guys are wrong. The mining company is right. So this is what we're facing.
And how much trust is there in the government regulatory commission?
I don't have any trust in them. We spent a lot of money on experts, people that work with hydrologists, people that work with mining, people that testified for us. No matter how much we have done, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission is not taking our word. And I don't know how long it will take. To have the grassroots people or the local people or the people of the United States, I mean, why aren't we being heard from our own government.
This is Larry again. One of the past president of the Navajo Nation, President Peterson Zaw, set a moratorium saying that there will be no more uranium mining on the Navajo Nation until there's a cure discovered for cancer. But there's been other presidents for the Navajo Nation that they don't make a stand with us. And their main concern is the few jobs that it'll come to our communities. And so we do have a lot of pressure trying to educate our local community, our government, in saying that this uranium is not good for our community. And it will continue to bring devastation to our area as long as there is no cure for cancer.
We're far away from a cure for cancer. So is this why you came to speak to the UN?
Well, the main thing is to express our concern with the world community, what we face. Our community is in battle with a outside company and with the United States government. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission is not listening to us. We're trying to protect our water, our environment. And water is life. And we want to protect our children. Uranium can be left alone until we know how to use it in the right way. But to this day, we haven't learned it.
And so is there also a way of appealing to people in the Navajo Nation and in the United States in general to stop uranium mining in order to stop producing nuclear weapons?
First of all, I think wars needs to stop. Killing, destroying, that should stop throughout the world. Why do we need uranium? We don't know how to use uranium. Once uranium is used, it has much more radioactive life in it. It doesn't go away. The life of uranium is thousands and thousands of years, and we just don't know how to handle these things. And I'm thinking about my younger generation, my children, even 100 years from now. And if we protect that water as long as we can, I think our community will stay as healthy as it is today. Means uranium, dota means no. So that means no to uranium.
What environmental threats does the Native American community face in your region? We'd like to know. Log on to the Voices of Our World webpage, www.maryknoll.org/voices. There's a spot there for your feedback. Well, that's all for this week, and thanks for listening. Mitchell Capitan and Larry King are just two of the Voices of Our World. Voices of Our World is a presentation of this station and Mary Knoll. Our producers are Eleanor Ostrinsky and Kathy Golden, and our executive producer is Larry Rich. I'm Eleanor Ostrinsky, sitting in for Eileen Bott. You heard music today by Kinney Starr. You'll find out more information on today's guests and topics on our program's website, www.maryknoll.org/voices. And if you'd like to find out more about Mary Knoll or to subscribe to Mary Knoll magazine in English or Spanish, just call 1-877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARY-KNOLL. If you have questions or comments about this show, again, just call 1-877-MARY-KNOLL. If you missed a portion of this program, you can catch us on Mary Knoll's website, www.maryknoll.org/voices. And please, join us next time for more Voices of Our World.